Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a blessing to be with each other, isn't it? The Lord just provides so many. He provides His testimony to us, and we rejoice in it. I rejoice in it, and I know you do too. Our singing is wonderful opportunities to worship and praise the Lord Jesus. A few weeks ago, maybe months ago now, time seems to go by quickly, I spoke on abiding, and one of the examples I gave of abiding was Psalm 23. That this Psalm 23, as you're familiar, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That dwelling in the last verse there, and all every line, every verse has implications of abiding, that we abide with Jesus, that He has made a way for us. He has made a place for us. He is leading us to food, to water, to know Him more. And that, of course, is the wonder of what He does for us, that we might know Him. And He shows Himself to us and teaches us. Well, that's not the main focus of that particular passage, is leading me to where I want to share today. And that is in, I read some of these verses last week as an opening, in John chapter 10. And it's all about, the first part of this is all about Him being the shepherd and us being the sheep. And He is speaking to Pharisees. He is speaking to people who were there to hear Him, following Him around and so forth. I don't want to get into this because I'm really haven't done a lot of work on what led up to this, but the fact is, He is speaking to the people and telling them about Himself. And it's important that we see these things and understand them. And it, just as in Psalm 23, He wants us, He is leading us, and He is feeding us, and He is protecting us, and He is keeping us. And I want you to hear that and to realize that the Lord wants us to know Him and to believe Him. That He says earlier in John chapter 6 that this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He, the Lord God, has sent. And that, of course, is our Lord Jesus, and that is the Holy Spirit. He has sent them that we might have life and enjoy His presence. So in chapter 10, I am going to settle here for a few minutes. He says, I'm going to drop down to verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens. This is speaking of the shepherd. And he's talking about the true shepherd of the sheep in verse 2. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. I'm going to skip down. Verse 7, Jesus therefore said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And this door he's speaking of is the entrance into the sheepfold, where the sheep were kept safe and secure, and where the shepherd knew he could find them. And there would be a doorkeeper who would protect and guard the entrance to the sheepfold. He goes on to say, recognize here that he is declaring who he is. He is the Lord God, but he is our shepherd. He is our keeper. He feeds us, cares for us, all these many things. And so he's describing himself here. And from abiding with him, the sheep know his voice. We know his voice. When we gather together, we hear the voice of Jesus. We hear the voice by the Holy Spirit. We know who he is. We recognize that he is moving among us, that he is here, that he guides us, and it is our desire that he lead us in all that we do when we gather together, and that we would have him in our heart, that he would be a testimony from our lives, that the world might know who he is. Back to verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens. To him the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. They know him. They've heard his voice. They know they're safe with him. They trust him. They go forth, and he leads them to where they need to go. As in Psalm 23, makes them lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. The Lord does that. He is doing that. He wants us to be fed and kept and to know who he is. Verse 7, truly, truly, so he says he's the shepherd, and the doorkeeper opens to him. In verse 7, he says, I am the door of the sheep. He is where they are safe. He is what keeps them safe. He allows them to go in and out. They go through him and with him. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. We are sheep. The Lord, that's not necessarily a compliment. But we are precious to him. We are his possession. He wants us to know him. He wants us to live with him. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to know his word. In chapter 10, verse 10, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. You know, one of the things that Christians, people in the church struggle with is a sense of guilt, a sense of that perhaps, and I don't even want to say this, but I think I need to. We think we are often, but the world, the enemy, wants us to believe that the Lord Jesus is looking to condemn us, is looking to find fault with us, is looking to make us, call us out, that we're wrong, that we need to be punished. And that is anything but the truth. The Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He wants us to know Him and to realize not only is He the Shepherd, is He the door, is He the sheepfold, is He protects us. He wants us to have joyous life in Him. He wants us to know that we are loved, to know that we are cared for, to know that He will never fail us. He will never leave us or forsake us. The Scripture is filled with promises. There is therefore, Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned. We sang several songs this morning about holy, how holy God is. Well, that holiness of God is what causes Him, makes Him able to pay for our sin. I want to go down here. I'm going to skip a few verses. Lord says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason, and this is something I hadn't seen until just less than a week ago. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. We've been studying Ephesians, and one of the verses, as a matter of fact, I'll read it. I don't know if you want to go there, but it's... Verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined, verse 5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. From before, verse 4, before the foundation of the world. Now, those of you who are old enough will remember that being quoted almost every, at least would seem like every Sunday, by our brother Charles. Before the foundation of the world, He chose us. He has called us. He is leading us. This is what I believe, and I understand verse 18 of John 10 to be speaking of. No one is taking His life away from Him, but Jesus is speaking, I lay it down on my own initiative. He's giving His life freely by His own choice. In union with the Father and with the Spirit, I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. I believe that's directly related to this. He chose us in him, in chapter 1, verse 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. From the beginning, it was the intention, it was the purpose of God that he would come and die for those of us because we have fallen into sin. He wants to make it right. His blood is able to make us clean. That was spoken at the Lord's table. He makes us clean. Clean, white as snow. The Lord has the authority, and it was given to him freely. He has the authority to lay his life down for sin, to pay for our sin, to lay for our shortcomings. And he has the authority, because he is holy, he paid for all of it. And because he paid for all of it, he could rise again. He did rise again. And he lives with us forever and ever. And he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And he brings it to us. He brings us into the heavenlies, that we are seated with him. And that's what we were talking about in Ephesians, being seated with him in the holy places. He has made us righteous. He has paid for our sin. He has paid for our mistakes and our... We still live in a house of skin. We are his house in this place. But we still struggle. We have shortcomings. But he has paid for it all. It's not like... He is not looking for something to blame on us, to cause us to be chagrined. He knows us. He knows what's in us. He knows all about us. He will not let us go. Back to John chapter 10. The Jews, verse 24. The Jews therefore gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." We who are of his sheep, we know who he is. Know he is the Holy One, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them." We have, and I know you've heard it, believe it, trust in it. You have eternal life forever and ever, never to be separated from him again. "They shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, he's declaring here, the Father has given us to him. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So no matter what the enemy comes and lies in your ear, our brother Wayne spoke last week and talked about that, talked about the enemy whispering in our ear. And he will. But we have eternal life. The Father is able to keep us. The enemy cannot snatch us out of his hand. And then Jesus says, I and the Father are one. Now I'm going to stop there because this chapter is intermingled with a number of other things that it's teaching. But I want us to see and to realize that he is doing the work of the Father. He is doing the work that was intended from before the foundation of the world. He knew all this. He knew he would come. He knew he would have to give his life. He knew he would have to suffer. The Holy One would have to take on unrighteousness. He would have to take on sin. He would have to take on evil. And yet, because he was holy, he was able to withstand. He was able to be punished for our transgressions. His blood was poured out, and that blood makes us clean. We have eternal life. We can trust in him. You know, when you realize that you're hearing the enemy speak to you and perhaps are being tempted by it, when you see, you know, we are surrounded by lust of the eye and lust of so many things, he is able to cleanse us. He is able to keep us. He does keep us. He does not want us to fall. He does not want us to have to prove ourselves. He has done it. He has done it all. We have his life within us. In Ephesians, we've studied this with the ladies and also the men on Thursday nights. We have been verse 7, chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. How rich is his grace? Which he lavished. That's a good word. If you're going to get something good, I want it lavished. He lavished it upon us, and he has made us worthy to receive it. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will. Believe what the word tells us. Consider the things that I've said this morning, and not because it's me, but because it's in the word. Seek it. If it's hard to believe, it is hard to believe. But it's wonderful. Trust him. He has done. Just like he said, even if you don't believe, he said to the Pharisees, even if you won't believe because of who I am, believe in what you see me do. The works that I do are the works the Father has given me. He does works through us. He has prepared things for us. He's prepared to work through us. There will be a testimony because of the works that he is doing. There's a testimony as to who he is. John spoke in Revelation, he was on the Isle of Patmos because of the testimony of Jesus. He was a testimony of Jesus. He was being imprisoned. The world, the people saw him and recognized and were unsettled and upset because he was testifying, and his life was a testimony to Jesus. So it is with us. And so Paul is praying for us here, and this prayer does not just stop with the Ephesians, because it's in Ephesians. I pray, verse 17 of chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. The Lord wants us to know him. He wants us to believe. He wants us to be a testimony. He wants us to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He wants us to see with the eyes of our heart that we may know him and have the hope of his calling. The Lord has done it all. Lord, we do thank you and praise you that you have given yourself for us. Lord, that we can trust in who you are and what you have said you will do. And we thank you and we praise you and we ask you, Lord, to help us, trouble us if there's something that we need to see that we don't understand. Help us to come to you and believe. Help us to come and hear your voice and know that it's you. Help us to share and to have communion with our brothers and sisters and resolve things. Not, we don't resolve them, you resolve them. But show us the way, Lord. We thank you and we praise you that you care for us in every way. In your precious name I do pray. Amen.